So, let's begin with Grace. And so that's what we've done. So, official name of the church, Grace Evangelical Preacher to Kelsville. That's on all the legal stuff. But I want to unpack in the next couple weeks, what does it mean to be a church of grace? What does it mean to be evangelical? And what does it mean to be a free church? So there we go. I used to live in New Zealand. And New Zealand prided itself with their image of being pure and wholesome and green, ecologically pure. In fact, that was the icon, that was the sales campaign for the Chamber of Commerce and everything. It was New Zealand pure. And it was purest air in the world, purest water in the world, purest grass in the world. Then, because of that, if you were raising anything from sheep to goats to cows or whatever it may be, the grass was considered to be the sweetest, most purest grass in the world. And so as a result of that, their milk products being sold all over the place, in fact, most of them were being sold to China. Well, it happened to be in China that they were taking these milk solids, actually take all the water out of milk is what's left behind. They're selling that to China. They're making baby formula out of it. And then all of a sudden, children started dying. And the Chinese blamed New Zealand. They said, your milk solids are not pure. Well, you couldn't have said anything to New Zealanders worse, because they take great pride in the fact of, is New Zealand pure? Research was done. It was found that there were two people in China that decided to make a little bit more money, so they were adding extras to the milk solids. And the extras to the milk solids were killing children. And New Zealand said, say, we told you so, because our stuff's pure. And the two people who did that in China were soon executed. True story. Why? Because there's something about the branding. If you say that this is pure, if you say that this is wholesome, you say this is good stuff, then you want to be able to stand by it. The name of our church is Grace Evangelical Free Church of Kelseyville. And I can't think of a better word to start our branding off than grace. So we want to talk about grace today. I believe that the church is the fruit of God's grace. The church is the fruit of God's grace. We want to look at the issue of why grace is a great word to have in your church's name. First of all, is that grace is the very nature of God. Let me share some verses with you. As Jesus was growing, even as a child, in Luke 2, verse 40, and the child Jesus continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, 16, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. John 1, 17, and the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Hebrews, now, I love that. Jesus came to show us grace and truth. What is truth? What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. I used to have this picture of God that he was like a giant principal up in the sky. School principal. Why? Because both my parents were teachers, and my grandpa, Frank Zeke, was a principal. In his office, very stern man, loving guy, he had a big, like a paddle, all right? And it had little holes, and that was the discipline paddle, all right? Now, how many of you growing up ever experienced such a paddle? See? You survived, all right? So I had this vision that's what it was like, and I would ultimately, when I died, I would be in this principal's office is called God, and he'd have this, we would have this little talk, and he would bring out the grade book and say, well, Mr. Zeke, looks like you have a lot of C's here. But as long as I didn't have a D or F, I'd be in. That's what I thought. And then I read in the Bible, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. So my view of God is important. Your view of God is important. Someone asked C.S. Lewis, what's the biggest difference between Christianity and all of the other religions? You know what he said? The grace of God. We have a gracious God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, that's what you need, don't you? Don't you need mercy and grace? Yeah. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, for this salvation the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. We know that Jesus Christ came as the bearer of grace. He was a personification of grace. It's a good name to have in your church's name, because it identifies the very nature of God. Next, it identifies the very nature of the early church. As God is gracious to us, and then that grace ought to be evident within the church, right? Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great power the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Abundant grace upon them all. And Stephen, Acts 6, 8, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Acts 11, 23, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Friends, grace was the nature of the early church. And it needs to be the nature of this church if we will bear that name. You can't say you're Grace Church if you're not filled with grace. It's false advertising. Some of the meanest places I've walked into in my life have been churches. Filled with fighting and hypocrisy, goofy stuff, disunity. Then don't call yourself a Grace Church. Now, we're here by God's grace. That's God's mercy. There's not one of us in this that are perfect. Twice this week, I've been reminded, we have a radio shots out there where we're advertising the church. And this last week, it came up two different times that I heard. And a man came to the church to talk to me specifically because I heard your ad, and I thought you may be able to help. Yesterday, I was driving around. I heard this familiar voice and a person sharing their testimony, how God gave them hope. It was Kelly Weiser, reminding people that this was a church not filled with perfect people, but forgiven people. This is Grace Church. It's a good name. I, for one, want to do everything I can do to live in a manner worthy of the grace of God. Why? Because people need grace. People need forgiveness. People need mercy. People need the salvation that only Christ can bring. And so let's make sure that we can do all we can do out there with our friends and neighbors and our businesses, wherever we may be, at school, whoever we come in contact with, that we would handle people graciously, because that's how Jesus would do it. So first, it's the grace of the nature of God, and that was the nature of the early church. Next, it is the nature of our salvation. You know why I'm not a Hindu today or a Buddhist? Because there's no hope in it. In Hinduism, I just have to keep working, and if I don't get it right, I got to be reincarnated and work at it again. If I'm a Muslim and I forget my 3 or 4 or 5 different prayers I'm supposed to do, well, what's the solution? There is no solution. You may or may not make it. There's no peace. If you're a Buddhist, then the way to do it is you got to give away all desire. You know what the Bible says? Give your desires to the Lord. It's different. And I'm not up here to slam other religions. What I am here is to promote the only one that works, Jesus Christ, the God of grace. There was a man who was walking in a British museum, and there were priceless, it's a true story, Ming vases. They were big ones, right? And he wasn't paying attention, and he literally tripped over his shoelaces that were untied. And he fell into these Ming vases, and he broke them to smithereens. He's laying there, and there's all these people looking at him, and he was like dumbfounded. And finally, he points to his shoelaces and says, "It's their fault." You know, we're really good at that. Instead of owning the fact that our lives are broken, are shattered. And we can try to put the pieces back together ourselves, but we can't. But God can. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 puts it this way. Starts out the chapter, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among you were formerly lived by your lust of the flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh, of your mind, and were by very nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God," I have that circled in my Bible, "but God," that's grace, "but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love for you, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And He's raised us up with Him and has seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, in order that in the ages to come He may show His surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Friends, the chapter starts, we're dead. Dead in our sin. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. You can't earn it. You can't do enough stuff. The mistake that the nation of Israel meant, the Pharisees, is that when all else fails, just make more rules. It doesn't work that way. Here's the solution. When all else fails, love God. Cling to Him. Cry out for mercy. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, "Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace which we stand and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God." 2 Peter 1, 9, "Who has saved us and called us to His holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." Friends, I got to tell you, I don't know why He started the whole thing. But it tells me here, is for His purposes. And His purposes are gracious. It's the God of grace. It's a good name. Good name. We're not changing the name. But we've got a good one, all right? Appreciate next week. I've asked Pastor Jason to bring us a message on what does it mean to be evangelical. I don't like when people hijack good names. We want to find out what that's all about. What are we supposed to be? But right now, if this is Grace Evangelical Free Church, and we want to be everything that God wants us to be. So it's the nature of our salvation. Titus 3:7, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's some great books out there on grace, all right? Do a little Google search if you want a little help with that. Yancey's got a great one. Piper's got a good one. You can't read enough about God's grace, but it's great. All right, next. It is the nature not only of our salvation, but it is the nature of our walk. This is how we're Christian. We walk in grace. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, because if you didn't, then you'd be condemned. How many of you have made a mistake in the last week? Don't raise your hand, all right? Because we all have. Well, then we're going to go straight to hell then, right? No, because God's grace. He's patient and merciful. Now, we ought to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the grace of God, all right? That you can get out of the doghouse, that there's a way forward. So the nature of our walk, James 4:6, but He, God, gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Why does God oppose the proud? Because the proud say, I don't need your help, God. Okay, say with me, God, I need your help. Say with me, God, I need your help. Say that every day. It's God's grace. Next, 1 Peter 4:10, each one of us have received special gifts. Employ them in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've all been given spiritual gifts. Why? They're called the gifts of grace. We're supposed to use that to be a blessing one to another. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever and for all eternity. We're supposed to grow in grace. All right? That means that next year you ought to be a more gracious person. You ought to be extending mercy and kindness. Yeah, but if you knew who lived next to me, I didn't write the Bible, right? You know, hey, someone's got to live next to you. Aren't you glad for God's grace? We're supposed to grow in grace. We're supposed to extend God's grace. That's why at Christmas time coming up, we're going to, once again, the Christmas is not all about us. We're going to support, and I'll clarify this in the weeks to come. We're going to help, brave men and women in Indonesia who are translating the Bible, and they translate it and they bring it back to their tribe or their town, and they risk imprisonment just by doing it. We're going to support that. We're going to be supporting the very orphanage that you just saw, and also we're going to be supporting the work and help of those in our county who are trying to get out of the cycle of homelessness. You get the help. Why? Because we're supposed to grow in grace, not stagnate in our lives. All right? All right, moving on. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Love this. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Why God often, I don't know about you, but here's what it does. He will often use my strengths to show me how really weak I am. So all those things, whether they strengths or weaknesses, God brings them about so that I may learn to more and more and more trust in Him. So it's not supposed to be a walk through the rose garden. It's supposed to be a walk with the Lord. And He will take us through even through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because He's trustworthy and merciful. So it's the nature of God, the nature of the church, the nature of our salvation, the nature of our spiritual walk. And lastly, it is the nature of our future hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, be prepared, preparing your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen. The very last verse of the Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. That's a pretty good way to end it. Good name for a church. Grace Church. Here's my desire in the year to come, as your pastor, as your friend, as your brother in Christ. I want to exemplify God's grace. I've been saved by his grace. God is grace. His throne is grace. The name of our church is grace. So when people come, I don't want them to be disappointed. That they come here, that this is a place where God's grace is manifest, is shown, is lifted up. If you've never received Christ as your Savior and Lord, I think it's as simple as ABC. Your A is admitting that you're a sinner. And only God can help you with that, right? Because we're dead in our sin. We're dead as a doornail. So it is his mercy even there that brings conviction. So he says, hey, you're going the wrong way. I agree with God. The B, the ABC, is to believe. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection for me. And lastly, the C is to confess him as Savior and Lord. He's the King. I'm not. And I got to say that every day. That's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus is Lord. How do you make that decision? You make that decision through prayer. You can do that even right now. We're going to close with a hymn. It's one of the most famous hymns ever, Amazing Grace. John Newton, who wrote the hymn, his mom was a dear believer who prayed for him, and then she died. He then, at a very young age, ended up becoming a sailor and getting involved with all kinds of bad stuff. One of those was a slave trade. I can't think of any more terrible thing to be involved with than stealing people and selling them. He was a murderer and a slave trader. And in the midst of all that, God reached down and grabbed hold of him. And at a time of need, he cried out to God, and it was by God's grace that he was saved. He would go on to become a pastor. He would go on to actually help change even England, the whole aspect of putting a death to slavery. And then he would write this great, great hymn. And even non-believers like this hymn. I just wish they would understand what it's really talking about. It's talking about the very nature of God. Is that God is a God of grace. It's a good name for a church. So I think we'll keep it. I just want to make sure we're living in a manner worthy of that name. Let's stand together and sing Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, Christ shines. Son. We know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. By grace, this is what's going to happen. Someday you'll close your eyes and Jesus will come for you. And you'll see Him face to face. You'll see my mom and you'll see my grandparents and you'll see a lot of those who have gone before us. And it'll be in a place of perfect peace and rest. It'll be perfect. And you'll go, God, how did I get here? And you'll say, by my grace. Or one day He's going to return, trumpet sounds. Not exactly sure how that's going to work, trumpet sounds. And He's going to come and He's going to deliver us up. And the whole world's going to be over, and we're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. But I bet we're going to be singing this one too. Amazing Grace is a great name for a church. Let's live in a manner worthy of that. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we need You and love You. Thank You for grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, each day of our lives to come to the throne of grace with our prayers. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've been proud. You've had to oppose us because You can't support our pride. But Lord, when we're humble and we cry out to You, it's grace upon grace. So Lord, help us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of grace. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, come back tonight for some hymns at 5:30 if you want. And if you have questions about the budget, right next door. Thank you.